You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our next guest says his band Black Violin is helping kids figure out what they're passionate about and how to do it their own way.
First, Wisconsin is trying to turn the tide on the growing problem of heroin and opioid drug addiction. While a lot of the effort is focused on prevention, there are concerns about access to addiction treatment.
Behavioral therapy and mental health care can be key parts of the road to recovery for people dealing with addiction, and addiction experts say prescription medications can play a huge role in successful treatment.
But access to those drugs can be very limited. Our next guest looks at some of the obstacles to getting medications for addiction.
Scott Gordon joins us now. He reports for WisContext, and his piece on medications and addiction is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
How important are medications in treating opioid addiction?
Well, in a way, they are maybe less important than a lot of people in the substance abuse and mental health profession would like them to be. These medications do have a lot of evidence on their side, a lot of medical research that shows that they're effective. But for example, the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration considers them underused. And, when we talk about treatment with medication, we're really talking about something that the profession calls medication-assisted treatment, which means that you're combining the medication with, behavioral treatment, therapy, and other things. So it's never just the medication alone.
What are the medications we're talking about here?
Basically, there's three big categories. The first is methadone, which is the oldest. The second is buprenorphine, which some people know in a proprietary formulation called Suboxone. And then there's naltrexone, which is the most recent drug to be approved for treatment of opioid addiction.
Those first two are opioid derivatives themselves, right? And the last one is Vivitrol, I think, is the brand name, and that's not an opioid at all.
That's correct. Methadone and buprenorphine are both opioids themselves, so they're regulated a bit differently. And Vivitrol is not an opioid. That's one formulation of naltrexone, and it's a once-a-month injection.
And you write that there's stigma, ongoing stigma, surrounding the idea of using medication. Some people say you're using drugs to defeat a drug addiction. Is that stigma still out there?
It is. I think the biggest kind of talking point that people bring up about medication-assisted treatment is this notion that it substitutes one addiction for another. And the problem with that statement is if you look at it from the perspective of, people in the medical profession, that's really just not true. People using these treatment drugs might form a physical dependence, but physical dependence and addiction are not necessarily the same thing. And the whole way in which a course of medication is given and managed is going to be completely different from using heroin or prescription opioids or other things that you're getting under, obviously much less regulated circumstances.
Right. The alternative might be a very finely calculated dose of something from a doctor's office versus a street drug, which may have any kind of dosage, any kind of additives or adulterants, a very high overdose risk, that kind of thing.
Right. And of course, one of the big overdose risks for heroin users of late is that there are much more powerful opioids mm-hmm. being mixed into the supply of heroin, including fentanyl, which is the culprit in a lot of overdose tests recently.
Let's get into access to these medications in Wisconsin. You write that there are a lot of hurdles here, and one of those is different regulations for how these drugs are used, prescribed, available, that kind of thing.
Right. So each of the three categories that I mentioned before of opioid treatment drugs exists under a different set of rules. For methadone, you have to go physically to a methadone clinic to get it and, build up take-home privileges over time. For Suboxone, doctors can prescribe it to patients through their offices, but because it's an opioid and because of some kind of arcane laws that exist around opioids, they have to get a special waiver from the DEA that limits the number of patients they can prescribe it to. And with Vivitrol and other naltrexone drugs, it's a little bit easier, and there are a little fewer hurdles. Again, because it's not an opioid, so the law treats it very differently.
And these are not conveniently available very often. You wrote that methadone clinics, the furthest north one in Wisconsin, do I have this right? It's in Wausau?
That's correct. And the state is...
And for people who don't know Wisconsin geography, there's a lot of north left after Wausau.
Yeah, there is. And there's a couple of interesting points with that. It used to be under state regulations that if you were getting methadone, you had to live within 50 miles of the methadone clinic. That rule has been relaxed under this new slate of opioid-related legislation that Representative John Nygren and other folks have championed. But the fact remains that kind of even if you're within 50 miles, that might be really difficult to manage while pulling your life back together,
right,
and likely not having a lot of money. And the state is trying to create opioid treatment programs in those sort of neglected northern areas of the state. And that's a newer effort, and they're finding that there's greater demand for it than they expected. And those programs are explicitly not using methadone. So which shows you, there's still an attitude out there that methadone is a bad option.
Talking to Scott Gordon with WisContext about medication treatment for heroin and other opioid drug addiction. Now, we go to see our general practitioner if we're dealing with an addiction. Are they trained? Do they know what they can prescribe? Do they know what the options are out there?
One of the big surprises for me in reporting this story is that some of the doctors out there are confused about what they can and can't do or what requirements they need to meet in order to be able to prescribe something like Suboxone or like Vivitrol. There are different certifications and hoops they might need to jump through. And some of the doctors themselves are kind of intimidated and confused by all that. And there are folks in the medical profession in the state working to help doctors understand that a little better. Another piece that I found interesting is that in Wisconsin, substance abuse counselors and mental health counselors are treated under different sets of regulations. And so if you're a duly licensed counselor or a duly licensed facility and you're trying to provide that kind of well-rounded, holistic treatment that I mentioned earlier, then you kind of are left wondering which set of regulations you're obeying at any given time, and they are different on a lot of important points.
Yeah, it sounds like the best case would be a person could get behavioral therapy, maybe mental health treatment, and medication. Is there any sort of thing that's a one-stop shop where somebody could go to one place and get all of that?
There are duly licensed clinics. There are methadone clinics that would like to be duly licensed, and there are some hurdles to that. But one thing that's been talked about a lot is how can people create a better structure to connect a given patient with all these different pieces. One thing that I looked at in my story is this set of flowcharts that is given to patients in the Madison area who are trying to figure out how to start treatment depending on what their insurance situation is and what their needs are. And, going through that it's kind of crazy to look at it. It's like it would be really overwhelming to kind of figure that out on a good day, not to mention if you're in this position in your life when you're recovering from opioid addiction.
Are there efforts in the state to make access to these medications easier, more available?
Yes. And like I said, those efforts, at least from the legislature's mm-hmm. perspective, definitely favor drugs like Suboxone and Vivitrol. The Department of Corrections has a pilot program going on with Vivitrol for recently released and soon to be released inmates. And, there is a lot of hope placed on drugs like Suboxone and Vivitrol that they can sort of help deal with those geographic hurdles because they're not tethered to a specific clinic location by law.
That's on the state side. Is the medical community trying to navigate this too?
Yes. And, another thing that a lot of people told me when I was reporting this story is that for a long time, the medical community hasn't treated addiction like a priority. And, someone pointed out to me, if you went to medical school and you never had a professor who knew about addiction and talked to you about it, that might breed kind of a certain ignorance that kind of sticks with you throughout your career. So people are making more steps within the profession and within med schools to put a bit more of an emphasis on it, have more training and certification for it and things of that nature.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks very much, Rob.
That was Scott Gordon with WisContext. His piece on opioid addictions is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.